this morning. I pray that you've had a wonderful week and enjoyed your time with your family and just enjoy life. Amen. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. So we want to enjoy it. Amen. We want to have the life that God has for us. Good to have you here. I pray that you are blessed this morning. I enjoyed worship, but I found out if you come ready to worship, you enjoy worship. That's usually how it works, you know. So I came to worship this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Peter. We've been talking about this year about God being a God of open doors and opportunities. And we know that God's always bringing opportunity in our life, not just this year, but all the time. God is a God of opportunity. But I really felt like God wanted me to emphasize and just kind of stir it up in us that that God is the God of opportunity. He wants us to be blessed. And don't misunderstand me. The word blessed means to empower. God wants to empower you to be successful in your life. That's what he wants to do. Now, the Bible says he'll bless what we put our hands to do. He didn't say, I'll bless your sitting. He said, I'll bless your doing. Amen. God blesses our doings. As we go, as we're led, as we're directed, as we let God lead our lives are going to be blessed. And so he's going to empower us to succeed. We know that, was it 2 John? Said, I pray above all things that you prosper. Be in health, even as your soul prospers. And the word prosper means to help on the journey. In other words, God wants to prosper your life so you can fulfill your journey, his plan for your life. And so we want to take advantage of opportunities and things that come into our life. We also want to take advantage of the opportunity that God gives us. I believe one of my opportunities is God's healing power. That's an opportunity that I can receive his healing in my life. And so I fully intend to take advantage of that opportunity. I believe God wants me to have peace. I was thinking about this morning, that everybody's trying to peddle fear. You know, it's like it's going to be the end of democracy. You know, we hear that from both sides, okay? Both sides are telling us it's going to be the end of democracy as we know it, okay? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to get caught up with y'all. I'm going to stay in faith. And I'm going to trust that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think according to the power that's working in me. Did you know the Bible also says in the book of Acts that the times of this nation have already been established by God? It's not going to last any longer than God lets it. It doesn't matter. It's going to last as long as God lets it. I personally, excuse me, I'm always believing for change. I'm always believing, and what I mean, I'm believing for revival. I'll use that word, revival. I'm always believing that God's going to do something good. I'm still believing for good for our state. I'm believing for good for this nation that we live in. I believe that's my part to play. I can't get caught up in, we're just going to fail and all that, because that's the world. And, you know, it doesn't matter which side you're on. They're both peddling the same thing, fear. And I refuse to fear. He said, fear not. Over 240 times, he told us not to fear. Well, you can't sit and listen to fear all the time and not fear. It's just not how it works. You gotta believe there's some hope. Amen? There's some hope. And I don't know about you, but I find my hope in the Word of God. I find my hope in the things of God. And so I get up in the morning expecting opportunities are going to come into my life. Opportunities to be a husband, a good husband, a father, a friend. But you got to decide what you want to be. You can be another protege of this world that we live in, or you can be a child of God. You got to decide what you're going to be. And God's not going to make us. He's going to encourage us. He's going to ask us. He's going to invite us. God leads and Satan drives. Come on. Jesus was called the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. It's an old joke, and I mean, you guys have heard it, and I don't usually tell jokes, but Sandy's here, and she hates it when I tell them, so I'll tell one. This guy was in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, this guy comes, and the sheep are just running down the street. this guy's chasing the sheep, and one of the people that's visiting, tourist, says, "Why is that shepherd chasing the sheep?" He said, "It's not. That's not the shepherd. That's the butcher." You see, that's Satan's the butcher. He's chasing and driving and trying to make you do things you know you shouldn't. Jesus is leading and guiding and directing. Okay, well, to be led, you got to have a sensitive ear to God. Amen. And so we want to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. And so we talked about when the things of God get hard, you know, or tough, we got to press in, right? We can't just be let discouragement rob us of the good things of God. And then last week we talked about what happens when things go from bad to worse. Amen. And I know probably most of us, or maybe all of us, have had those moments in life where, you know, it seems like it's bad enough and then it got worse. You know? And you got to learn how to stand in those moments. Amen. And when Jairus, one of the stories we used was when Jairus came to Jesus and said, "Come heal my daughter," right? And as he was going, Jesus was going to heal Jairus' daughter, somebody came from the house and said, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." Well, when you're sick and then you die, it's gone from bad to worse, right? And so Jesus just turned and said to Jairus, "Don't fear," right? Fear wants to get into us, because one of the first things that happens when we get fearful is we talk our fears. And the Bible says that life and death are in the power of our tongue. Jesus said we're going to have what we say. So the enemy wants us to get caught up in our fears, so we talk our fears instead of talking our faith or talking our confidence in God. And I don't want you to, Jesus wasn't denying that things had got worse. Jesus just knew that he knew how to handle the situation. Amen? And when your life, something in your life seems to get a little worse, it's not that it didn't get worse, but you're serving the God that knows how to handle it. Amen? And you got to keep your focus on him. Today, I want to talk to you about you have an enemy. It's almost like we forget that there's an adversary, that there's an enemy working in this world. And your enemy is out to take you out. Your enemy, Satan, and I know that in America today, a lot of people don't believe in Satan, and that's okay. It just makes them fodder for him, right? One thing I learned over the years is just because you don't believe in something, don't make it not real. Okay. And so you have an enemy. And if we just ignore the enemy and not understand how he operates, he's going to be able to have an operation in our life. And so we want to know how he works, right? So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's look at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the what? But he gives grace to the humble." Now, I want you to notice that if God resists you, you're in trouble. It doesn't say Satan resists you. It says God resists the proud. Okay? Now look what he says here. It says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. He says, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season." Now, this is how you humble yourself. "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." There's nothing more humble to God than you casting your care on him, instead of trying to carry the cares yourself. He said, "Cast all your cares," and we're going to read it in the New Living here pretty quick. But it talks about your worries, your anxieties. You cast them over on him because he cares for you. That's an act of humility. See, when I cast my care over to God, on God, I'm humbling myself to His Lordship. That Jesus is in charge of my life. But humans want to solve, especially men, we want to solve the problem. One thing I've learned over 44 years of marriage, sometimes when my wife talks to me, she ain't looking for me to solve the problem. She's just looking for me to listen. But me, I want to solve the problem. And she's like, no, I just want you to listen. I just want to talk, okay? And so you got to learn, you know, to listen and look like you're listening. Yeah. But the thing is, friend, when we take our cares and we cast them over on Him, we're honoring Him. He said, I meet all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said, there's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. And every tongue that's raised against you in judgment, I shall condemn. For that's the heritage of the servant of the Lord. And your righteousness is of me. So when I take all my anxieties, my worries, my cares, and I cast them over on God, what am I doing? I'm humbling myself under the mighty hand of God, and God's mighty hand will save and deliver my life. Amen. But if I worry and I fret and I stress, He'll let me, because I want you to notice something in this verse. The cares belong to you. They're your cares. He said, casting all your cares on Him. Usually I'll use a little illustration. I've used it with Tom. And that's how I'll take my pocket knife and I'll pitch it to Tom. And I said, that's my cares. I'm pitching my cares. And I pitched it over on Tom. And it's the most amazing thing. I can go along there and I can be preaching about casting your cares over to God. And all I got to do is walk up to Tom and put my hand out, and he'll put that knife back in my hand because it belongs to me. We cast our cares on God and then we go and pick them back up and walk out. We'll pray about a situation. We'll pray about a circumstance. And we can get real serious. We can speak in tongues, man. I mean, we can just really go there. And then when we get up, we just pick those cares up, put them back on our back, head down the road with our cares. And He'll let you, because they're your cares. But if you're going to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you got to leave those cares there. And I don't know about you, Satan's always trying to get me to take my cares back. And I know when I've taken them back because I start talking my cares. When I talk my cares, I've taken them back. When I talk God's promise, I've left them in His care. When I bring something to God and I confess it to Him, and I say, Father, I come to You this morning and I got these symptoms in my body and I bring them to You. And Jesus said in the Word that He bore my sicknesses and He carried my diseases and by His stripes I'm healed. You said that if I would honor You in the book of Exodus, You said that You would take sickness away from me. You said that You sent Your Word and You healed me. You said in the New Testament that sickness and disease is satanic oppression and I've been redeemed from Satan, so I know I'm free in Jesus' name. So I cast these symptoms, I cast these cares over on You, and healing belongs to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. And so I get up from my moment, and those symptoms are still, I'm still dealing, and I walk out, and I see, and somebody's saying, he says, how you feeling? I say, I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. I didn't say I was healed. I said, I believe I'm healed. Because Jesus said I only had to believe it. He said, I say, I believe I'm healed. But if I walk out there and Sandy goes, well, how you know? Oh, I don't know. Just, oh, my head's, oh, that pain just shoots down my back and out my leg. And I can just describe everything just down to the T. No, I never left that with Jesus. I'm believing for change. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not denying it. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying I cast it over on God, and it's His place now to deal with it. Amen. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying I've cast it on God. That's humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. You know, a friend, one thing I've learned over my lifetime is talking about a problem has never changed it. In fact, what I find out is the more you talk about your problems, the bigger they get. And we have a tendency to embellish. We can make it sound bigger because sometimes we're seeking more sympathy. Come on. I don't know about you, but I know about me. When I don't feel good, what I want to do is find somebody and tell them. Sometimes my greatest battle is just keep my mouth shut. I heard this years ago. He said, one guy was preaching. He said, brothers, you need to learn the vocabulary of silence. Sometimes we just need to learn to keep our mouth shut and just say what God says. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not, you can do what, God knows my heart. You can have whatever relationship with God you want, and that's all you're going to have anyway. The only relationship you're going to have with God is the one you want. The one you're willing to have. Amen? And so I'm not here to tell you what kind of relationship. I'm just telling you this morning, if you want to submit to God and be under His mighty hand, you got to cast your cares, your worries, your anxieties. You got to cast them over on Him. And you have to leave them there. And that's the challenge. Leaving them there. So I want to encourage you this morning that we got to learn that our adversary wants you to pick up your cares, your worries, your frets, and he wants you to carry them because he can control us through them. Every time I testify of how sick the devil has made me, I've testified for the devil. Every time I testify about how broke I am, how discouraged I am, I'm testifying for the devil. But when I get up and I say, no, I may have some feelings of discouragement. Did you know, just because you have a feeling of discouragement don't mean you have to be discouraged? I mean, if you're married, you get a feeling of attraction to somebody besides your wife, you might want to rethink that. You might want to back up and say, no, that's a lie. That ain't from God. I know what I am. I'm committed to my wife. I'm committed to my marriage. I'm committed to my children. And the last thing I want is for me to fail as a husband, so my boys don't have a standard to live by. If it's just me and her, I guess I can blow it up. But it's not. It's about her and I. It's about my kids. It's about my grandkids. It's about this church. It's about the kingdom of God. It's so much bigger than me. I can't live by my feeling. I got to live by the direction of God and the Holy Spirit. He's bigger than all that. So I got to put my faith in Him. You know, I get up here and preach, God makes you an overcomer, and then I fail. You know, we want to live these messages, not just preach them. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm in no way telling you I've hit it 100% because I haven't. I'm just saying, strive, press in, be the one, right? All right. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Well, that handles the alcohol problem. That handles the pot problem. You can't smoke pot and be sober. You got to be sober. I have a sister. I got more than one, but I got one sister. You can't, there's times in her life when you can't even, talking to her is like talking to a fence post. She's so spun out on drugs that the doctor gave her. Not illegal drugs. Just drug her up, keep her drugged up, can't even talk to her. Just because the doctor gives you a prescription, don't make it, it can still be sin. It's not legal in the kingdom just because the doctor says it is. Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes you need medication. And I'm not saying we can't have medication. I'm just saying you got to be careful that you're not just looking for a way to escape life. Right? And God don't want us living our life trying to escape life. He wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. Amen? He doesn't want us just trying to get out of escape and hang on until we're dead. He wants a little more than that for us. He wants good for us. Well, I believe that anyway. He said, be sober. And then he says, what? Be vigilant. What does that mean? Be on guard. When I get in a crowd, I'm vigilant. Because I don't trust anybody. Now I'm in trouble with Sandy. Okay. When I get in a crowd, I'm aware of my environment. And you know what's funny? It's not something it's just who I am. I get in an environment. I walk in a place and I get it. I notice the environment. I notice who's there. I know, and it's just part of me. I'm vigilant. I'm looking. I'm watching. I'm keeping my eyes open. He said, but we need to keep our eyes open because our adversary, the devil, wants to get into your life and destroy your life. And we need to notice when he's trying to get in. Amen? But he said, be vigilant. He says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he what? Which means he can't devour us unless we let him. Look what it says here. But you have to do what? Resist him. Resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by by the brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. When you are vigilant and when you resist the devil, it creates, now listen to me real careful, it creates suffering on your flesh. You know what I'm saying here? When you're standing, my flesh don't like to stand. My flesh wants to give in. No? Yes? Anybody with me? My flesh wants to give in. But he said, if I'll resist him, he says here, but after you have suffered a while, he says, it will perfect you or mature you. See, if we never stand when our adversary comes, we never get matured in God. And that's why there's so much difficulty in the body of Christ and so little manifestation of the things of God is because of the immaturity in the church, because we don't want to stand against our adversary. You got to bow up and not give in to everything that comes down the road. See, sometimes church, we like certain churches that cater to our dysfunction. If you're not careful, you'll find you a church that'll let you stay dysfunctional and fit in with the rest of them because we're all dysfunctional the same. No. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And you talk about dysfunction. And don't misunderstand me. I consider myself a Pentecostal. I speak in tongues. I believe in the manifestation of the Spirit. I believe in all those things. But I never seen so much dysfunction. We were living by our emotions. We were living by our feelings. We didn't even know if God was in the building if we didn't feel Him. But the Bible said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. So that should settle it. No, that should settle it. God will never leave me. I will never pray, God, go with me. Because God said, I will never leave you. I don't have to ask the God, go with me. You know, when I was a kid growing up, because I was Pentecostal and holiness, they said, if you go to the movies, Jesus won't go in there with you. I mean, this is 100 years ago type stuff. But I know He went in there with me because He convicted me about what I was watching. So I knew He was present. He didn't bail on me. He was with me. But He was saying, son, you know better. No? Yes? See? And it's like, no, God ain't out and in and out and in. He comes in. He's ready to stay. Amen? He's with you. You know, but here's the thing. He wants to lead me and guide me into His will for my life. But I got an adversary that's trying to get me to compromise, trying to get me to give in to the world around me, live by my emotions, live by my feelings, live by other people's opinion of me, live by, well, what do they think of you? Oh, I don't think I would say that if I was you, and I wouldn't do that if I, you know, what does God say? No? What does God say? Now, I'm not here to tell anybody else how to live. I'm just saying, as for me, I want to live for God. I want to serve the Lord. And I've lived long enough to know that if I'm gonna win, I'm going to have to be able to, my flesh has to be willing to suffer, right? He said, I'll perfect you or mature you. I'll establish and strengthen and what? Settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So He wants us to grow, to be established, to be settled, and to be confident in our walk with God. Amen. Go over to James. It's not in my brother. This is a curveball. So go to James chapter 1 and verse 12. Sometimes when I get up here, I have something come up that I didn't put in my notes. So forgive me, Brian. James chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now listen to that. Blessed, empowered is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of what? Life. Now, I maybe I'm taking a liberty I shouldn't take here, but when I hear that, I hear that man will be crowned with life. You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't have a lot of life. Sometimes we don't look much different than the world. And I don't believe that's the way it's supposed to be. And he says here, he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who what? Love Him. Now listen to this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. So when you're tempted, don't say God tempted you. You say, well, didn't God test? Yeah, I didn't say that. God tests people. He'll ask you to do something that's uncomfortable. Right? Sandy was going to have, with our old, she was pregnant with our oldest son, and I drove about 80 miles away to be in a service, and she didn't come because she was right at the end just before she had the baby. And I drove all the way there, and on my way, and I know none of you men are like this, but on my way out, she handed me $20 and said, put this in the car, because the car doesn't have a lot of gas. Now, it was a small car, and it got good gas mileage, but she gave me this $20. And I said, okay, I got plenty of gas to get there, and I'll put gas in it before I come home. So I drove there, and I got there, and they had an evangelist preaching. And we're sitting there in the service, and he's preaching, and they receive the offering for this evangelist. And God told me to put in the $20, and I didn't want to put in the $20. I didn't know how I was going to get home without the $20. Didn't want to put the $20 in. I know you're not like me, but I'm sitting there arguing with God. You know, I mean, and I'm feeling this unction to put it in the offering and give it to the man of God. And I'm sitting there, man, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know. Finally, okay, God. And so I put my $20 in there. And as soon as service was over, I knew I had an hour and a half to drive home. And so I got up and I went out. And I'm getting ready to get in my car. And the evangelist comes running to me. Hey, Brother Tucker, you know, in the old days, you know, they called you by your last name. Hey, Brother Tucker, hang on just a minute. And so I waited for him to come over. He goes, God told me to give you this $20. It had nothing to do with the $20. It had to do with me. God was showing me to trust him. That's what he was doing. He was showing, and what did that moment do? It made me grow, but it was hard on my flesh. I didn't want to do that. I liked safe. I liked secure. I liked knowing. But what it's those times of testing that causes us to grow in God so we can believe God for more. If I can't trust God to me, and it has to be God. Now, hear me. If that guy's up there trying to pull money out of me with some sad story, it's probably not God. But I knew where it was God talking to me, son, I want you. And it had nothing to do. It was about him dealing with me, okay? And so I just want you to know, but what did it do? When I went through that and I came out on the other side, I had something I didn't have when I started. Can you see that? And you know what? It was a battle. And I know that may sound silly to you. I mean, I know you, when God tells you to give something, you just throw it in. Don't even think anything about it. But I, you know, and my thing was this. I wasn't giving out of my abundance. I was giving out of my need. Seed is never more precious than when there's not much of it. There's no more seed more precious than when it's your last seed. The woman that gave the two mites, amen? Jesus said she's given more than everybody. They gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her life. And because she didn't just give two mites, she gave all she had. Everything she had. And in God's kingdom, that's greater than the guy who just gives out of his abundance. Because that's not, see, the kingdom of God's different than the world, right? And so when we learn to do it God's way, we can grow, right? And God tests you, but he doesn't tempt you. Look at what he says. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by what? Evil, right? So the test wasn't evil, right? He says he doesn't tempt by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. It says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away in what? His own desire. The reason many Christians never overcome is because they never change their desires. We got to grow up in God to where his desires becomes our desires. And that comes out of relationship. Now, I was raised in an organization that had bylaws. And one of the bylaws was not to engage in ungodly amusements, which was going to the show or, you know, going to Disneyland or anything like that. I was raised holiness. Everything was sin, except overeating. That's all I'm going to say. Just leave it there. But everything was sin. And in their old bylaws, they wouldn't let you drink soda or chew gum, or it was a mess. But the thing is, when you got saved, you give your heart to the Lord, they gave you the bylaws. Because they wanted to make you a good one of them. Now, if you do these things, you'll be a good one of them. And they preached, you get saved, you get sanctified. And sanctified means you quit sinning. And if you do these things, you've quit sinning. And the women didn't cut their hair and couldn't wear jewelry and couldn't wear pants. I remember my sisters riding horses with pants under their dress. Stupid, gone to seed. My opinion. But you know what? They were sincere people. They were doing the best. I mean, they were doing what they believed, and I can respect that. But here's the thing. You could do all of those things and be bitter and angry and hateful and not enjoy life and all of those things and wish to God, and not enjoy your relationship with the Lord or not. And it's like, because God didn't call me to follow rules, He called me to have a relationship with Him. And when I get a relationship with Him, then His desires become my desires, and my old desires don't control me no more. God's desires control me. And when sin shows up inside of me, I hear this: that's below your dignity, buddy. You're a child of the King. You're a child of God. You don't act like that. You don't talk like that. You aren't that kind of person, because you are in relationship with God. And it comes out of a relationship. It doesn't come out of rules and regulations. And I used this illustration a while back, and not too long ago, but I'm going to use it again. When Sandy and I were driving to Washington State, we went through Oregon. When we went through Oregon, I noticed there was lots of sheep. Sheep everywhere. But there's no shepherds. There's llamas. Everywhere you went, there's a llama. These llamas in with the sheep. And I'm trying to figure out, why is there a llama with the sheep? Well, I found out the llama will protect the sheep. And then not only is there a llama, there's fences all around the sheep to keep the sheep. And I'm sitting there driving down the road just thinking about all these things. And God spoke up to me and said this. He said, they need a llama and they need a fence because they don't have no shepherd. And He says, you need rules and regulations in the kingdom of God when you don't have no relationship with the shepherd. He said, but if you have a relationship with the shepherd, you go where the shepherd leads you. You do what the shepherd wants you to do because you've built a relationship with the shepherd. You ain't looking for some man to tell you your dues. You know the man, Jesus Christ, and He's not going to lead you anywhere but to the right place. If you're somewhere and you know Jesus wouldn't lead you there, you're at the wrong place. No? Yes? It comes down to the shepherd. It comes down to following the shepherd. Well, when our desires become, when God's desires become our desires, Satan loses his control over us. And it takes effort to change your desires. Because I don't know about you, most of us grew up catering to our desires. My grandson, the one that lives in Iowa, he come to his dad a couple of days ago and says, hey, Dad, teach me how to work out. And Dad says, Richard says, what do you want to work out for? He goes, cause so when I get to heaven, when I get to high school, I can get the girls. Well, every man gets excited when his son says he likes girls. No? Yeah. We're all grateful when we hear that they're noticed, they like the girls, right? But we got to train them up in the way they should go. Amen. We have to teach them to respect, and we have to teach them how to. I taught my boys, you don't look for a date, you look for a wife. Because God didn't say when you find a date, you found a good thing. He said when you found a wife, you found a good thing. So and I'm not telling anybody else what to do. I'm just saying we got to get this down. We got to teach our kids right. But my point was, he wasn't wrong, but he needed to be taught. right? His desires need to be brought in line with God's desires. And it's the same with us. We got to learn God's desires and begin to let God. I heard a message years ago preached by a man by the name of Paul Spooner, and his whole message was a higher desire. You may have a low desire, but you got a higher desire, and that higher desire controls the lower desire. No? Yes? So you got to get it down in you. I want what God wants. And you know what I learned over the years? People have two standards, the one they're in right now and then the one that they take on when they get somewhere else. I've had pastor friends that get up and preach that fornication's wrong, and then they get divorced, and the next thing you know, they're in adultery. I'm like, situational ethics. What do you really believe? There's what you say you believe, and then there's what you really believe. No? And the pressure on your life will reveal it. The pressure in my life reveals to me what's really in me. If you can't stand in troubling times, if you can't stand in faith in troubling times, you don't have faith. The troubling time just revealed your faith. It says a trying of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. It's the trying of the faith that proves the faith. It's not me going around pounding my chest saying I got faith. Well, I read all three tapes. I got all the tape series by Brother So-and-so. I got faith. We'll see. Something's going to come up. You're going to have to stand and believe and confess and declare. We'll find out. You know, I found out sometimes I don't have near the faith I thought I had. You can be a real strong swimmer sitting on the beach. I was out with some of my friends when I was a teenager. And one guy would take the football and throw it as far as he could out in the lake, and you had to go get it. So this guy gets it. He just chucks it out there. I had to go get it. About two-thirds of the way out there, I thought, I'm going to drown. I'm going to just drown. I'm going to die today. Because I wasn't all that good of a swimmer, man, and I'm just flailing out there. I finally got to that football, and I just hugged it like it was my best friend. It was the only thing keeping me from drowning out there. You know, if your faith ain't developed, you probably shouldn't play stupid games. You know, but the thing is, I could stand on that shore and brag. Yeah, I can do that. I'm a better man than you are, you know. Want me to flex for you, you know? And then finally I get about three-quarters of the way out there and about to drown, you know. It's like, you know, it's the proof's in the pudding, right? So when we want to truly be what God wants us to be, there's going to be times in our life when we got to prove it. No, yeah. But you can't prove it if you don't have it. That's why we develop. I'm not a very good swimmer now. I just, in our own swimming pool, I stay close to the edge. But let each one, when he is tempted, drawn away in his own desires and enticed. But when desires are conceived, they give birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings what? Do not be deceived, God. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. I just want you to know that when we decide to give in to our adversary as he works through our desires, just know that the ultimate place he's going to bring you is death. Death to the marriage, death to the family. Maybe death to your health. One last scripture. Go to John chapter 10. Are your desires God's desires? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about rules. Don't you ever just know something's wrong? I mean, on the inside, you just know, this ain't right. Did you know you can override that? No? You guys are more spiritual than I am. I can override that. But he wants his desires to become mine. And when I entertain his desires for my life, I'm going to start having the life he wants me to have. Satan wants you bound, right? Because he can control you through your bondage. But look what it says here. I was going to start in verse 1 because he talks about the shepherd and the sheep hearing his voice and all that. But I'm just going to go to verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Did you know Satan is a thief and a robber? There's a truth for what he just said there. He was saying, when the thief and the robber, ignore him. Ignore him. Right? He says, all who ever come before me is thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He ignored them. You know, you got to learn how to ignore the devil. Come on, ladies. You know how to not hear your husband. Just use the same tactic on the devil. Just not hear him. Come on. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find what? What does pasture represent? Provision. Absolutely. It says the thief does not come except to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So you need to know that. When you give in and when you let him, you take on his desire, there's only one thing he wants. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. And he wants to destroy you. Ultimately, that's where you, when sin is fulfilled, when sin is mature, it leads to death. How many lives, how many marriages, how many families, how many things? We're watching our nation die. And the more we give in to sin, the more death we're going to have in this nation. Less respect we're going to have for one another. Less respect we're going to have for the different groups of people. The less respect we're going to have. Why? Because we let that. Because when sin, you know, sin, it wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But you know what? There's one thing I can do. I can do what's right myself. You know, some of us get this mindset, if we can just get enough people doing right, then we can change the world. You can't change the world but one person at a time. You do right. And enough of us do right, it'll change our world. But if we sit around waiting, right? We sit around waiting for somebody else to stand up and we won't stand up ourselves. But he says the thief, because Satan's a thief, our enemy's a thief, he does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I love what Jesus said. Amen. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. So I just want to let you know, yeah, we have an enemy, but he can't just have his way in my life. You know, if Satan was all powerful, you guys, none of you would have woke up this morning. He'd just went by your house and knocked you in the head, and you wouldn't have woke up this morning. He's not all powerful. Jesus is all powerful. You know what he does? He uses your desire to destroy you. What Satan uses the alcoholic, his desire for alcohol, to destroy him, or drugs, or pornography, or fear, or hatred, or strife, or it doesn't matter. He just wants to destroy, because the truth is, that's all Satan knows. Now, if you had been here Wednesday night, we found out that if we walk, if we found out that His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, right? And then we learn, we know, he didn't bring, Brother Ron didn't bring this scripture up, but this is how I judge every message by other scriptures. Isn't that how you do it? You got to make sure it harmonizes, right? I went, in my mind, I went to 1 John. If you walk in the light, as He is in the light, He says, the sign of a person living in light is a person who has fellowship in their life. He says, if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. And He says, and the blood of Jesus will keep you clean. What an awesome truth. His blood keeps me clean. Keeps me washed white. Amen. If I walk in the light. And He says in Psalms 119, verse 105, He said that His Word is a lamp and a light. You know where you find God's desires? Right here in this old, musky, stale book. You know the one that sits on your table? Sandy and I, we went to buy a car one time. And we go to buy this car, and he found out I was a preacher. Next thing I know, he's inside his desk drawer, digging around in his desk drawer down there, and I'm thinking, what is going on with this guy? He lose something? He finds his little testament. Please, yeah, I'm a Christian too. I just hate it when people try to use Christianity to sell you something. But he's not the only person whose Bible is hidden. Come on. We don't get it by looking at it. We get it by reading it, by listening to it. Put it on your tape. I don't even know if you got cars with tape players in them anymore. But I have the Bible on CD, so I just shove a CD in and I listen to the Bible. If I'm working out, I'm listening to the New Living, and it's on my phone. I just turn it on my phone. I sit there and listen to the New Living. While I'm exercising or whatever, and I'm just keeping that word going inside me. I got up and I read, my Proverbs in the morning, and I know that Brother Augie is reading Proverbs too, so we're reading the same book each day. The same chapter each day, because you have a chapter for each day, and so a scripture that'll stand out to me, I'll text it to him. I'll say, "Hey, man, I really love this scripture, man," and what am I doing? I'm letting my brother know, just because you ain't here, I know where you live. You know what I mean? I know where you're at, And just let him know, I'm thinking about you, buddy. And this scripture just really ministered to me this morning. And you know what? When you get the word in you, you can do that. You can send an encouraging word to somebody. Amen? And I just want you to know that do you have an enemy? Do you have an adversary? And he ain't going to go away just because you want him to go away. You got to resist him. And it's pretty encouraging that after you've served him and you really put God first in your life, it gets easier. It gets easier. Serve God. I know some people say it doesn't, but it does. It gets easier. And pretty soon you almost get air, and you almost bow up and say, all right, I'm going to overcome this. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. Amen? All right, if you're here.